Incredible edibles start with Loran. Professional bakery emulsions, super strength flavors, and candy mixes from Loran make it easier than ever to create your own delicious edible experience. Bite Me listeners in the contiguous 48 receive 15% off their order at loranoils.com. Just enter Bite Me 15 at checkout. For listeners outside the 48, email customercare@loranoils.com for a list of distributors and retailers near you and tell them Marge sent you. In this episode, I sit down and have a wonderful conversation with Chanel Lindsay, CEO of Ardent Cannabis. Welcome to Bite Me, the show about edibles where I help you take control of your high life. I'm your host, Marge, and I am so excited about this conversation today. Like, I just finished listening to the conversation again after having a bit of a break. It was recorded some time ago, and these intros and outros often get recorded at a later time. And I just re-listened to the whole thing, and my mind just went, obviously you can't see the gestures that I'm doing, because as I record this stuff, I often have a lot of hand gestures. It just blew my mind. There's so many gems in this episode, so many wonderful takeaways. I think you're going to love it. So I could go on, but let's just get right into it. Enjoy this lively and informative conversation with Chanel Lindsay. All right. So welcome, Chanel, to Bite Me, the show about edibles. I'm very excited to have you on the show today because this has been a long time coming. And I was just hoping that you might take a second to say hello to the audience and introduce yourself and introduce Ardent Cannabis for anybody who's not familiar with it.
Of course. And thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be here. So I am Chanel Lindsay. I'm an attorney. I'm an inventor. Seems like my whole life is cannabis nowadays, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And Ardent is my baby. It is a company that really is focused on bringing the power back to the individual person and patient when it comes to cannabis. And we do that through creating innovative hardware. So we have a decarboxylating machine. Really, it's this 3-in-1 device that allows people to activate, so decarboxylate, infuse, and then actually create their edibles and topicals right inside. One portable device. And so really we are a hardware and then a CPG, consumer product good company. So we really take any product that you would see on a dispensary shelf and break that down into a little DIY kit where people can really affordably make customized cannabinoid medicine or therapies, really whatever they're looking for. We're aiming to deliver and give that confidence to folks to be able to make anything and take control of, you know, their health or their, activities.
And I love that because the motto of the show for Bite Me is to take control of your high life. And the people who are listening to the show are edibles enthusiasts like you and I. So it fits right in with the whole philosophy of what I'm trying to do here. So clearly you're an edibles enthusiast. What is it about edibles that you love so much?
Well, for me, edibles were a bridge into using cannabis for medicinal purposes. So I started out my cannabis journey, using cannabis to relax and enjoy activities and whatnot, but really had an opportunity to and a challenge that led me to using cannabis for medical purposes. And that was an ovarian cyst that I got. So for me, it was a way to avoid pharmaceuticals. And one thing I immediately loved about edibles is that really you can make anything into an edible. And the idea that you can kind of get this therapy at the same time as you're getting your nutrition and kind of feeding all parts of your body, I would say that that's definitely my favorite part of kind of the edible experience.
Yes, I would totally agree. And there's, like you said, you can infuse almost anything on the entire planet. So it makes them incredibly versatile. Now, most people who've ever made their own edibles or if they've been given a homemade edible, they've probably have a story where they've overdone it at some point. Has that ever happened to you that you've overdosed? And what was the experience?
Yes. I've been in a lot of different situations, quote unquote, overdose experiences. One of my first times eating, space cake. I did not heed the advice of only eating half of it and then not smoking afterwards. And so you can imagine that was like a quick nap kind of being out of commission for the rest of the day. And one thing, that's happened pretty recently is, unfortunately, I kind of like overdosed my mom when I was first starting Ardent. Really, I was working on this concept of instant edibles, right? This idea that you can just take your decarb flour and put it right into food. And it was something that, you know, is a new concept to people because the idea of activation and decarboxylation and the idea of infusion have been so conflated that people think like it's a requirement for you to do an infusion, which it isn't. And for my mom, so I had this bud that I activated and I gave her a little bit to actually use sublingually under her tongue and then swallow. And I really, you know, I don't know, didn't consider the amount that I was giving her because, again, it's quite strong when you do it that way. And she was calling me later on that night in the bathroom saying, I think I need to call an ambulance or go to the hospital.
Oh, no.
No, Mom, I had to like talk her through it, you know, and, you know, but it was a very unpleasant night for her. But she's such a good sport. And of course, you know, sees the value in it as she's getting older. And so we, with the right dose, everything is fine. But yeah, you have to be careful with it. And thankfully, with overdosing in cannabis, you know, the worst thing that really happens is that kind of not feeling so great or being very tired. So thankfully, most of the people that have those encounters are able to move on. But it is something that can get in the way of people like really enjoying that edible experience, that like fear of how they're not really going to be able to manage that dose. And that is one of the main reasons, you know, that I was passionate about starting Ardent, because of all of the misconceptions about edibles and like that edible making process. The first thing being that you need a ton of it, which isn't true. But that's because people aren't decarboxylating, right? And so like, you know, in the past, people have had to use like an incredible amount of flour or starting material in order to get just a little bit of edibles. And that can lead, you know, the inaccuracies in the process of making edibles can lead to these unfortunate situations, you know, for people. And getting precision and dosing, I think, you know, is a huge part of breaking the stigma around edibles and giving people that comfort of, okay, I can manage this and I can tackle this and that I can feel comfortable giving it to my family and friends.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a good experience.
Yeah, that's so true, because it's, yeah, I totally agree with you on all of that. I think people also don't realize how important that decarb process is. And so I'm just curious what led you to dig into the science of decarbing initially.
Yeah. So when I was having my journey into making edibles, there were times where I did not have access to quality product. And there was also times where I really needed to know how to stretch my material, right? So I was kind of in that camp of, wow, I need to start making edibles now and suppositories and other things to treat the ovarian cyst that I had. And I don't want to be spending this much money as I'm making it. Also, I'm getting inconsistent results, right? So now I'm spending all this money and my time and my effort making this, but I'm not getting a quality result. And so I was also becoming an attorney at the same time. And so I was like ready to dig in and research, like, what is this edible making process about? And anybody who like really starts to look into it and research really will quickly stumble upon decarboxylation, right? And so to me, this idea of like the fundamental ability to access this cannabinoid, whether it's, you know, the fact that it's covered in acid and then you have to gently remove this acid in order to be able to use it, but you don't want to burn it off on the way and you don't want to not fully activate it. Like, that was fascinating to me. And I thought, listen, one of the things that I saw often was this chart that claimed that you could never get above 70% decarboxylation without starting to burn off the THC. And I thought, wow, that means that you can't, that every time you're making it, you're going to lose 30% no matter what. And I didn't really believe it, right? And I thought, maybe this isn't accurate. Well, let me just test it out to see if this can be true, and started going and testing my medicine in a laboratory. And this is the beauty of and importance of legalization, is that like these really important basic scientific ideas and concepts, you know, can't be proven out in a prohibition world of prohibition, right? Like, because there's no lab that will do something like this. But all of a sudden there was, right? After medical marijuana came to Massachusetts. And so I went and started doing this testing and saw, not only was that not true, that you couldn't, you know, activate more than 70%, that you could actually get up to activating like 97 or even 99% without any loss if it had the right laboratory conditions. And that was really the light bulb moment where I was like, whoa, if I could make a device that would be able to do this, like I wouldn't have to do this anymore. So that's the genesis of a lot of stuff in Arden, is like, what is going to make my life better as somebody who's a cannabis consumer? But that's what's going to make any person who's using it, you know, better, because it is something that it can either be fun, amazing, very easy and simple and get you the result you want making edibles, or it can be like a complete disaster that you never want to do again. And I saw that people were starting to really open their eyes to medical marijuana in Massachusetts, but they were not able to make good quality product. A great example was when we were in the laboratory, at the same time I'm testing to perfect decarb, there were people coming in who were making product for family members. This one guy, great guy. He was making tincture for his wife who had epilepsy, and she was a doctor. He came and tested that medicine, and there was not 1 milligram of THC in what he made. Not one. And it was because he had made it on the stovetop. He hadn't done that process right. And I started thinking about how many people were actually going to be doing that and thinking that it was the cannabis not working for them when it actually was their process not working. And so that was a real driving force behind kind of going, developing the product, developing this very simple solution for, you know, getting that first incredibly important piece of decarb right.
Right. And that is like one of the challenges of being a home cook, is like the decarb process and the precision and the accuracy, especially when you're gifting them to other people.
Yes.
And one of the drawbacks, of course, to traditional decarbing, like most people do it, is they stick it in the oven at a certain temperature for a certain amount of time, and then your entire house smells. So that's one drawback. But then you're also mentioning the loss of cannabinoids. So how does the Arden specifically like overcome these issues?
Yeah. So with the oven, it would be amazing if it was just that simple, that you could throw it in the oven and trust the oven temperature. But ovens are not precision devices, right? They are, they vary within temperature. Even the best ovens, 5 degrees. And that, believe it or not, that small temperature difference, even 2 or 3 degrees can make the difference between you being able to get 97% of that available medicine in there or less than 70%, right? And so that part was, you know, is the primary, you know, differentiator, is that Arden uses a thermal core all the way around the device. So instead of like in your oven where you have the heating elements above and below, or like your toaster oven, this actually has a heater wrapped around the entire cavity of that device. And there's also 2 sensors in there. So the sensors are creating this perfect zone of heating that's controlled by this, you know, smart algorithm and circuitry below. And it really is a smart device. It looks very simple from the outside, but from the inside, it's this very high-tech device. It's using multiple sensors and ensuring that like that material inside is getting to, it's really lab grade heating. What we did was took that type of heating from the laboratory and then pulled that into an actual, you know, hardware for your kitchen, you know, countertop or your desk or your hotel room, because the whole idea is this really takes the place of the kitchen and gives you that discretion because the odor control is a huge part of it as well. And and just the fact that many people don't necessarily want to kind of mix their food in their cannabis. Many people are about that, but there are a lot of people that are still in a situation, whatever it is, where they're not really able to incorporate cannabis into every aspect of their life, or they have children, or they have other folks that are not users or getting drug tested or whatever the case may be. Just being able to be very discreet is a desire of many folks that are making edibles. And so we really designed the device in order to limit odor. And we even for the FX have like an odor trapping lid, because, you know, some cannabis can get very, very dank. And so we want people to be in that position of being able to be discreet, you know, even when they're, you know, whatever they're using to create.
Yeah. And I love that, because I have an Arden, and just the smell, like the reduction in smell, is incredible, because I used to just decarb in the oven, and I live in a house with just my husband, so he doesn't complain about it too much. But even though it's safe for me to do it here, I don't necessarily want my entire house smelling like toasted weed all day, because it takes a long time to dissipate.
And it can even go into the neighbor's yard at some points, but, you know, so it's just kind of about... Yeah. You know, being, you know, having some courtesy and stuff as well too, that's important to people as well. So.
And I'm not sure I realized that point, that the simplicity of the device is wonderful because it is such a simple item. You just plug it into a regular outlet. It's so easy to clean as well. But I didn't realize that the cannabinoid retention, you're saying, is closer to like 90%. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah. So on average, it's 97% activation.
97.
Yeah. So it's incredible there. And like you're saying, even 90% is fantastic. And this idea, is a really important piece in my mind of this evolution of the idea of edibles, right? I think when most people think of edibles, they're really thinking of like taking a ton of weed and having to incorporate that into food. And one of the things that is really important for us to educate people on is that I don't think a lot of people know is that when you're talking about dispensary products, the THC, the CBD, often that's the cheapest part of, or the least expensive part of the product, right? And when you're activating correctly, you can use very, very little to make, your end products. And that I think is something that, really people's minds start to transform when they're able to see what they can do, like 1 gram of flower or 1 gram of concentrate. And really starting from that point, I think that often takes the fear away of, am I going to do it wrong? Or how do I approach this? And that's, was one of our main goals as well.
Right. And I like that you mentioned the edibles from the dispensary. Now I'm in Canada, so our system's probably quite a bit different, but a lot of the edibles that I see in the store that I work at, they're also made with like distillate. And yes. When you're making something at home in a device like Ardent, you're getting full spectrum, which is completely different and a lot more robust, I find, as far as the effects you're going to get from that. So that's another benefit of making your own as well. Can you decarb fresh flower in the Ardent?
Yes, you can, but it will come out like steam spinach is what I like to call it. So really, I think you need to be very careful about what you're using it for, right? If you're going to put it right into an infusion or throw it right into food, you might not care. But for the traditional, uses, usually we tell people to at least let it dry out for 24 hours or so to get the initial moisture out. But again, trial and error is great. And the fact that you can just, decarb half a nug and see how that plays out and then move on to doing a larger amount. The fact that there's no minimum, I think, allows people to kind of do those, tests to see, is this a way that I like to, consume or prepare?
Right. And I just asked because I think somebody asked me along a little while ago whether you could do that or not. It's not something I would necessarily recommend because I think you're always better off using some dried flour, but I just thought I'd ask the expert herself.
It's now, I've seen a very, very popular question of that, especially around harvest time.
That's right. And there's a lot of people right now who are sort of harvesting their plants, but I've seen in some videos that, and I've tried it myself now, actually adding the cannabis right into the food. How do you find that affects the taste yourself?
Yay. I love that. I love for people to try it, even if they don't love it. And it's funny because there's a big split in the community about whether to eat weed straight. And we actually have some good content coming out for the holidays about that because some folks swear by it. Other people can't even wrap their minds around how one would even go about that. And I think part of it is, again, educating on all of the different ways to use cannabis is so individualized and specific, but I love incorporating bud right into food. I find it to not change the taste at all, depending on how I'm using it. So, taking it and putting it right into capsules, you're never going to taste anything. The way I am often using it is putting it in salad and I'm not tasting it at all because it's just kind of chomping in amongst the other ingredients. And let's think about it, right? When I'm dosing a salad, if I want a salad with 20 milligrams, I'm using usually like 0.1 of a gram. So it really, to me, it's like adding a little bit of seasoning on there. And a lot of folks, especially women, I've noticed, really like to put in like applesauce and then they'll eat it. Mm. And so you're actually never chewing it. You're just kind of swallowing it. How my mom used to like break up my medicine and put it in a little bit of jelly and I'd swallow it down. And so that's kind of like how I think of it. And I find it to be very effective and a very easy and simple way to do it. For me, when I started making edibles for my ovarian cysts, one of the big challenges that I had is that I was eating so much butter. I remember there was one point where I was dosing three times a day, and I was thinking, and I would eat the butter, and then I needed the butter in something, so I would end up eating like a bowl of oatmeal. And I realized, like, I'm adding three extra meals a day to my regimen, and it's not what I want to do for my health. It's not what I want to do to balance my weight. And I thought, like, there has to be a better way to do this. And that's why I was so always very interested in separating these ideas of decarboxylation and infusion, right? Like, once you decarb, just think about it, the THC and CBD are being decarbed, and it's sitting right on that plant material right there, right? And so you can just break it up and put it into whatever. You don't have to go through that second step of taking it and pulling it into that butter and oil. And I think it's important for people to remember too, you're also getting the maximum amount out of your, starting material when you're using it just from flour after it's been decarbed, because there is some loss. Even the best infusion, the best infusion rates are up there. They're 92, 95%, but there's still that 5% that you're losing, right? In mm-hmm. that process. And so for me, it's like, I always love educating people around it, because even if they're not down to put it in their food, nobody's really opposed to throwing it into a capsule, right? And then using it. And right. So it's just kind of like, for those people who aren't chefs or don't really make anything, mm-hmm. even, sticking it into a capsule, anybody can do that. And so I think that that's often like a really good way to talk to people about starting up with an edible, because they don't have to really worry about, ooh, are they going to like the taste or not? Especially for folks on the medical side where, it's more about just getting some good therapy. And for us as well, like the idea of the fact that you can decarb CBG and then decarb CBD and then decarb THC and actually have this customized mix that you are creating and either putting into a capsule or putting on your food or whatever, giving that variety to folks, I think is really important and becoming increasingly attractive to people.
And I like that you mentioned these capsules. That's something I've never tried before, but can you just like, do you just put it, you would decarb it in the Ardent as you normally would, and then make sure it's finely ground and put the desired amount into empty capsules that you would buy?
Exactly. And you don't even really have to, you don't have to grind it up. You could actually just take little bits off and just stuff them in the capsule. And for some people, there are folks that have no problem digesting through their first pass metabolism and getting their feeling from edibles. There are some people that need a little bit more support, right, in getting their edibles. And so for those people, then we would suggest adding a little bit of like a drop or two of coconut oil in with the capsule, or a drop mm-hmm. or two of like lipase, or a drop of lecithin, something that was going to help and bind and help with absorption. So that's the only addition I would say to the capsules if you are encountering or making this for people who have a little bit more of a sensitive time or a irregular time when it comes down to actually being able to, some of those people that are like, it doesn't hit them, but it's like 6 hours later it hits them. There are many, many mm-hmm. people who have that delay there. And so adding some excipients to that capsule can be a good route for those folks. And capsule sizes of like 0 and 00 are usually a good size for folks.
Okay, that's amazing. I'm going to make a note of that along with those additions that you, like the lecithin that you mentioned for those, because there are people, like you said, sometimes it's not even that they're not cooks or confident in the kitchen, but sometimes you're just short on time, and having something like this tucked mm-hmm. away when you need it is a brilliant idea. I'd love the idea of putting it right into food as well. I tried that technique, which I learned from your website. So thank you for that. And I've always heard about people just putting it in their food before, and I was like, oh, that must taste really awful. But I found that the taste was pretty minimal, and it's probably something I'll be trying again. And the idea of putting it on a salad, like you said, is great, because there's so many other flavors going on that small amount of cannabis really isn't going to make much impact anyway. When do you usually decide to skip the infusion process and just add it to your food? Do you have certain instances where you go that route?
Yeah. So I think it's mostly for foods that it pairs well with, right? There are some natural pairings that make a lot of sense, like spaghetti and pasta, especially with any kind of pasta sauce. But the pasta sauce itself is such a strong taste, and obviously things that naturally take similar kind of seasonings, like anything that's taking oregano is going to work well with bud. You know what I mean? Right. So there's these like, kind of natural pairings. If I'm like, like, you know, dosing ice cream, I'm probably not going to go and like put the bud on. I mean, I might, believe it or not, this might sound gross to people, but I dare folks to try it because I will actually take decarb bud and put it in my cereal, in with the milk and eat the cereal. And it's actually something that actually is quite popular with our community. And it's a little bit counterintuitive, but it actually ends up working really well. With like a honey bunch of oats or something like that, for a cereal. And, on the taste part, there are some times where, it really is about like making that right, you know, match as far as flavor and taste feel, because there are times where I eat things with cannabis butter and it just tastes incredibly weedy. And often, sometimes I find that, that using cannabis direct, I don't taste the weed at all, you know? So it all depends, you know, on, I think, the dish, the palate, that you're trying to create there. And also too, there are things that are just naturally need to be smooth or need to be something that is liquid. And obviously, you know, adding something that is gritty is not going to work there. And so those are the times when I'm usually like, okay, let's make a coconut oil, or for beauty products, especially, right? Infusing into shea butter and other things like that. You're not going to want to rub, you know, the decarb butt on your skin. And so that makes perfect sense to move to infusion then.
I really like the idea of the pasta sauce and the oregano dominant dishes and that kind of thing, because it saves so much time if you can skip some of the infusions sometimes. And again, we're getting into the season where people are getting shorter and shorter on time between now and the end of the year. So definitely a fun way to medicate your food without too much effort. You touched on it a minute ago about the different cannabinoids that you can sort of zero in on with the Ardent. Can you talk a bit more about that?
Yes. So, you can decarb THC and also CBD. You can also decarb, CBG. You can also decarb CBC. If you look on, if folks go to our blog, you will notice in many of our CBD, especially, blog posts, that you will encounter flower that is CBD dominant, but has a lot of the other, minor cannabinoids. And CBG is one of those, right? That it used to be in there, like only close to 1% in most flower, but now you're starting to see CBG being bred at like 10 or 15%. And same thing with all of these other cannabinoids. CBC is a very cool cannabinoid because it can often, CBCA can like turn into different cannabinoids. So like some of these cannabinoids act like stem cells. And can actually turn into like CBD or CBC. And so it's very fun to be able to say like, okay, whatever is coming out down the line that we're able to kind of dial in and create and give that comfort around that activation, and then have people be able to make that, you know, customized product, because that is definitely something that's kind of lacking within the dispensary. Oftentimes it's like, you know, folks are going just for the highest total THC count possible versus really thinking in a holistic way about how they can, you know, both enjoy and get some preventative, you know, benefits from some of these other cannabinoids that have really, really interesting, clinical trials and other research. And we try to reflect that in our blogs as well, to actually link out to different studies. So if folks go on our website and are interested in CBG, we have a whole blog about that and about the different, promising research that's being done on how these can help folks.
Right. And I feel like we're just scratching the surface with all that stuff too, which is really exciting. Now, can you dial in anything when it comes to terpene content of the cannabis that you're using?
Well, so terpenes on their own, they don't need to be activated. They're not decarboxylated. And the key with terpenes, what you're trying to do is actually not impact them with heat. So what we do is that we actually decarb at the lowest possible temperature to get that full activation in order to try to limit the impact on terpenes. The closed device itself also helps to trap terpenes as well. And then if folks are really concerned about the terpene impact or kind of desiring, more of that full spectrum that also includes, acidic cannabinoids, then a lot of folks are actually decarbing, and then they're taking like a little bit of raw bud and also, you know, mixing them. And that's becoming a very popular combination there, right? Having THC, THCA, CBDA, CBD, and really trying to hit all of those different angles when it comes down to, you know, treating with the plant.
So essentially, you're not burning off any of the terpenes, or you're not really burning off most of the terpenes because it's at a low enough temperature to avoid that, which means you're ending up with a nice full spectrum decarb weed in the end.
So you're definitely impacting terpenes to some extent, and that will depend on whether or not you are, decarbing in something like our vessel that's holding everything really tight and kind of like not letting anything even within that decarb. So that's important for folks if they're wanting to like really, preserve terps. There are ways to do that. And we're actually going to be exploring that even more over the holidays. The idea there is that you don't want to be decarbing at really higher temperatures. Number one, you're not going to get as good of a decarb. And number two, in addition to harming the THC, you're also further impacting the terpenes. And so we're doing everything that we can to keep that low temperature. There's nothing that's going to completely preserve terpenes other than not heating the cannabis. But keeping it within a very controlled framework helps to preserve as much as possible.
Yeah, and we know that terpenes are pretty volatile just by their very nature. So anything that you can do to preserve them as best you can is wonderful. So the ardent can definitely help with that. Now, if you look at the definition of the word ardent itself, it's very enthusiastic or passionate. What were your thoughts when you were coming up the name for your company?
Yeah, exactly that. I think that, every time we're talking with folks about decarb, making cannabis products, legalization, removing the stigma, we do it with, our full spirit and effort and passion. And so ardent seemed like the perfect name, to encapsulate that. It's also an A word, which is awesome because we get listed nice and early in things, but certainly ardent is an accurate way to view kind of how we approach like giving that power back to the person and making innovative product and, working towards legalization on the East Coast and beyond and pursuing equity within the industry. It's like, we feel like we have such a passion for all of these different things and want to share that with everyone.
And how do you feel? Because you touched on that word stigma, because there is still so much stigma surrounding cannabis use. I see that all the time when people come into my store and they're like, I have to have a bag lest anybody see that I'm walking out with the cannabis product, right? And how do you feel like we can all work together to reduce this stigma that we still experience every day?
Oh yeah, it's stigma. Oh my goodness. I would say that has been one of the main driving factors in just my pursuit of everything in cannabis, from building this business to showing that it's a legitimate, enterprise on top of, fighting for legalization, because wow, stigma has like weighed me down. I mean, I was a young mother who used cannabis, and a lawyer who used cannabis. And it's just all of these misconceptions about who we are as a community. And I think that, even these activities, right? Having these conversations where we're broadcasting out to the world about what this all is really about, that this is about science, that this is about, people being healthier and feeling good. And that's okay, right? That like feeling good and getting healthier, all of these things are positive things. And so I'm just so excited. I know we have such a far way to go, but man, are things so different than, they used to be. And I think that, unfortunately, there is a big backlash against legalization. And there is this, I see this like, renewal of the stigma around what's happening. But the beautiful thing about the cannabis plant is it's so powerful and its medicinal properties that it cannot be denied, right? So as long as we continue to just have these honest conversations, there is no way. I saw a really cool meme today and it would said, congratulations to drugs for winning the war on drugs. You know what I mean? Because that's what's happening right now, right? Is that people are like, despite the stigma and the heavy stigma, and the money that's behind that, right? From the different industries that are like pharmaceuticals and other folks that are just, you know, hoping that cannabis will fail, like it's not. And so I'm just happy to continue to ride that wave of you know, evangelizing around cannabis. And I think that that's something that everyone can do. And you know, I'm sure you see it too every day, that it's like these personal conversations that people are bringing into their families is what's moving the needle. And then once people try cannabis and they see that benefit from it, there's no way people are willing to give that up. And I think that's why we've seen such a success on all the legalization measures. And like, just when you think about the number of measures that have been put forward on cannabis and been successful, it's like mind-boggling, you know? And so I'm really thrilled about the way that we've been progressing. And just people being vocal about it and being willing to talk about it, and also bringing the tools and technology on board so that people can feel very comfortable in doing what they're doing around cannabis, and that it can be folded into their lifestyle in a seamless way that they're proud of.
Yes, I would totally agree. And I love that you said that you're riding the wave. Chanel, I would like to suggest that you're leading the charge instead, because everything that you're doing in the cannabis industry is certainly, you know, it's groundbreaking, and you're helping to change that stigma that's out there. And the Ardent's been on the market for a few years now. What do you have planned next for Ardent and everything else that you're doing?
Yeah. So continuing to educate folks, there's still a huge gap between when people look at our device and look at it and think of what they can make with it. And that was, we have been on the market since 2016 first with Nova, and then we introduced the FX, which is the larger kind of all-in-one, and you can bake and create inside, back in 2020. But still the biggest questions that we get are, how do I make X? How do I make Y? And for us, really moving into that CPG world of like creating the end product of the kit, where it has everything that they could need to make a transdermal patch, or everything that they could need to make that capsule that already has the excipients inside. Like, for example, we have a capsule that's like awake, and it has guarana and B12 vitamin already on one side, so that when people go and they stuff it, you know, their butt on the other side, they're essentially replacing their vitamin. Right? And incorporating cannabis. So that's where we really see the future of giving people in areas that don't have access to different products, very easy, simple, and affordable access. Suppositories is a big thing that we have coming up, a suppositories kit, because those are things that, you know, only really mature cannabis markets have. And it's going to be quite a long time before the entire US and the globe really have the access that they need. And then we really feel like we have that knowledge and understanding of what the consumers want. And so to be able to execute on that, that is really what 2022 is looking like for us.
I am very excited to see what is coming out next for Ardent Cannabis, and I will definitely be watching and cheering you along. Now, I know you're short on time, Chanel. There's so much more I want to ask you, and there's a lot more to your story than we even had a chance to touch on, but I'll be linking to some of those articles in your story in the show notes so people can find out more about you when they hear this episode. And I would also encourage everyone to check out the website, because you have great recipes on there, lots of information about creating edibles. It's a great place for edibles enthusiasts to learn more. Is there anything else that you would like to say before we part ways today, Chanel, to the listeners of Bite Me?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me here. This was wonderful. And I would love for folks to come and check out our website. And also every month we have a Easily Baked with Ardent live show where we kind of go and make cool things. And then I would just really, you know, for folks that are in states that have not legalized yet, just, you know, do not underestimate the power that you have as a citizen of your state to make sure that when legalization comes, that it is done in the right way. And when I mean the right way, I mean equity provisions for people that have been harmed by the war on drugs, and home grow. I cannot stress this enough. It's so important for people to have legal access to be able to grow their own material. It's incredibly important to protect people's right to make edibles at home and control their, you know, own therapies and their own health. And so I'm always encouraging folks to just make sure that is a key piece of what's happening, and to advocate on any particular issue that's coming up, because I think often people are intimidated thinking like, oh, well, if I'm not really involved already, I don't really have a say or whatnot. And you'd be so surprised the power of the individual person to speak up on these things and to make sure that that this all works out in the way that actually leads to what we're all hoping for, which is like power back to that individual person and freedom of this plant.
Yes. Take control of your high life. I love it. That's a perfect way to end this conversation. Thank you so much, Chanel. I really appreciate your time. And like I said, I'll be watching everything that you're doing moving forward.
Awesome. Thanks, Marge. Thanks, everyone.
Isn't Chanel incredible? It was so nice to sit down with such a knowledgeable fellow edibles enthusiast. But there was so much more to her story that I didn't even have a chance to touch on. She was arrested for cannabis possession a few years ago, but as an attorney, she was able to fight the charges because of her thorough knowledge of the legal system. And that is in part what inspires her to do a lot of the work that she does every day. I have an extensive list of show notes for this week's episode, and that includes the article that talks about the story of her arrest. And I hope you're as inspired as I am by her story, by everything that she's doing in the cannabis community and for the cannabis community. And if you really enjoyed this episode, please like it, share it with a friend, or somebody you think will enjoy it as well. And get in that kitchen, friends, make some great edibles, share them with those that you love. And until next week, my friends. Stay high.